Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. We had so much going on. Don't think that we forgot about you. We still know you're there. And in fact, that's what we're going to spend the rest of our time talking about today. We finished up our study on the life of Jacob last Sunday, kind of a bittersweet Sunday. It was fun to conclude all that, but we're at the end of a series. And so today, I just get to spend some time and really concentrate on Father's Day today. What we're going to do is we're going to spend some time talking about what it means to be a man, actually. So I want to share with you some statistics that I found on the U.S. Census Bureau site. So one in four kids in America today, one in four kids under the age of 15 have no father figure in their life. Not just at their house, in their life in general. They have no father figure in their life. Now that comes out to 17.8 million children. 17.8 million children. That's enough to fill New York City twice. That many kids in our country, in our world, in our culture today have no father figure in their life. Now, a lot of those I know are sad situations and difficult situations. There's a few of those in there that are also by choice. I know we have a wonderful lady here at our church who is a single lady who adopted a little girl and is doing a phenomenal job taking care of her. But the reason I bring that up today for us here in the church is because men, this is your opportunity to maybe be that person in a kid's life. There is a lot of kids at your kid's school, kids in the church, kids in your neighborhood. The truth is, not just fathers, we have a shortage of good men in our country. We have a shortage of good men. And so what I want to do today, what I want to spend some time talking about is what is it to be a real man, okay? What is it? What is a real man? Now, in our culture, if you were to go out and ask that question, I would be curious. I'd like to see. Maybe I should have like taken some time and done a video doing interviews at the mall or something. I don't know. But I would be curious if you asked that question to people, if you just went up to somebody on the street and said, what is a real man? What is a real man? What kind of answers would you get? As I was thinking about that and just things I've heard in my life, things I've seen on TV, here's a few that pop into my mind. A real man is the man that can win a fight, right? That's what we think of in our culture today. That's a real man. Or a real man is the one who's been with the most girls, right? A lot of times that's the real man in our culture. A real man is the man who works the hardest. That's a real man, is the one who works the hardest. Or a real man is the guy that has the fastest car, which, that one's okay. It's not too bad. So where do we find the real answer to that question? Where do we find the real answer to that question? Well, who is it that made man? God. So when it comes to knowing what a real man is supposed to be, where do we go for the answer? God. We go to the guy that made mankind. He's the one who's really going to know. And as we look at God's word and we think about all the different stories and things in God's word, we see a lot of men in God's word. We see a lot of men that did incredible things. We see a lot of men who did incredibly evil things. We see bad men. We see good men who messed up a lot. We see all kinds of men throughout the scripture. But we see one man who is perfect, don't we? There is one man who is perfect, and that is Jesus Christ. So as we look at the story of Jesus Christ, he obviously is going to be the one who shows us what a real man looks like. And so as we look at the life of Jesus Christ and we talk about a real man, there is a lot of places we could go today. But what interested me and what I wanted to look into is how did Jesus grow up into being a real man, to being the perfect example of what a man should be? Now, here's something really interesting about what we see in Scripture, what we see in the four Gospels, what we see in the life of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If we look at all the stories about the life of Jesus in those four Gospels, we have two books, Mark and John, who start with Jesus as an adult. That's where the book starts. Jesus is an adult. So we don't get to see Jesus grow up in those two books. And then we look at the book of Matthew. We see some of our favorite Christmas stories. We see, you know, the stories about him being born and angels visiting and the wise men and shepherds and those kinds of things. But then once we finish our Christmas stories, in the very next chapter, guess what we have? The adult Jesus. In fact, we only have one gospel that tells us any stories about Jesus as a child. And that is the book of Luke. And it only tells us one story. It tells us about Jesus when he's 12 years old. And when he goes and he teaches the teachers at the temple. As a 12-year-old boy, little boy, he goes and he teaches those who are supposed to be the wisest people and who know the most. And that's where his family finds him. He gets lost for a little bit. We're not going into that whole story. But anyway, we have that story about Jesus. But actually in the book of Luke, chapter 2, he goes from a baby to being an adult in one chapter. So even though we have that one story of 12-year-old Jesus, we still don't get to see how he grew up into this incredible man that he was. The only thing that we have is one verse in Luke chapter 2. In Luke 2:52, we have one verse, and in that one verse explains the entire childhood of Jesus, basically. It explains how he grew up into becoming the man that he is. And it's in Luke 2:52. And that's going to be what we concentrate on today. That's what we'll be focusing on. Because if Luke saw these things as so important, if he's like, I'm going to sum up the childhood of Jesus in one verse, and here's that verse, this must be a pretty important verse. Now, I don't usually preach on one verse. Those of you who have been here for a long time know that I have before. It's not my first one. I don't usually preach on one verse, and it's going to seem really weird after the life of Jacob, because we preached on entire stories at a time. But I think if Luke summed up the childhood, the growth of Jesus into one verse, there must be a lot for us to learn in this one verse about what it means to become a man. What it means to become a man. So we're going to look today at Luke chapter 2, verse 52. And we're just going to look at this one verse today. Luke 2:52 says this. Now remember, we went from a 12-year-old Jesus. That's the story that we just told. And the next story, he's a full-grown man. So here's the rest of his childhood. It says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with people. Let's pray as we begin today. Heavenly Father, as we come to the passage today, I ask that you speak loud and clear to us. Lord, I believe every single word in your Bible is important. I believe there's no mistakes. I believe there's no extra stuff that doesn't need to be in there. I believe that you have something to teach us in every single verse. And so, Father, I ask that you use this verse today and on this special day where we celebrate fathers, that you would show us what a real man is supposed to look like. Not what the world teaches, not what we think with our own opinion, but what you have taught in your word. What is a man? What does it mean to grow into a man? And Heavenly Father, help us to recognize today that whether we have a 12-year-old boy here, whether it's a 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80-year-old man, that we all recognize that we still have this growth that needs to happen in our life. We're all still growing into who you've called us to be. And so, Father, use this passage today to teach us what a real man looks like. And give us guidance in that. Heavenly Father, hide me behind the cross today as every single Sunday, every single sermon. And Lord, I pray every day of my life is all about Jesus. It's not about me. So hide me behind the cross and glorify him here in this place. Heavenly Father, I ask that I would decrease and you would increase. We need to hear from you. We desperately need to hear from you. And we want to go from here changed. I pray that no one showed up today for any other reason than to hear from you and be changed. And so, Father, I ask that you do that work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In this verse, we really have four basic things. It's really a pretty simple verse. It's laid out very simply, and we have four things in this verse. This is how Jesus grew. He grew in wisdom. He grew in stature. He grew in favor with God and favor with men. And this really covers the mental, physical, spiritual, and relational parts of who we are. This is the way Jesus grew in all these different areas. And I think that means you and I need to grow in these areas as well. And these are the kinds of men that we are missing in our world today. These are the kinds of fathers that we're missing in our world today. And hopefully we're going to see at the end today that there's a lesson for my sisters here as well, not just the men. And so let's look at these. The first thing I want to talk about is wisdom. Anyone who wants to be a real man needs wisdom. There's a great passage in Second Chronicles chapter 1. There's this moment in someone's life that is just an incredible moment. I can't even imagine it. But there's this moment in King Solomon's life that's in Second Chronicles chapter 1, beginning of verse 6. It's an incredible moment. It says, Solomon offered sacrifices, There in the Lord's presence in the bronze altar in the tent of meeting, he offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. That night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask, what should I give you? Ask, what would you like? What do you want from me?" And Solomon said to God, "You have shown great and faithful love to my father David, and you have made me king in his place. Lord God, let your promise to my father David now come true, for you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Now, here's his request. Grant me wisdom and knowledge so that I may lead these people, for who can judge this great people of yours?" God said to Solomon, "Since this was your heart, and you have not requested riches, wealth, or glory, or for the life of those who hate you, and you have not even requested long life, but you have requested for yourself wisdom and knowledge that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king, wisdom and knowledge are given to you. I will also give you riches, wealth, and glory, unlike what was given to the kings who were before you or will be given to those after you." Now, kids up here in the front row, if God showed up today and he was like, "Hey, I will give you anything you want," can you think of a lot of things you would probably ask for? Yeah, right? The rest of you are way too mature for that, right? God shows up and he says, "Anything you want." And what was Solomon's answer? Wisdom. Give me wisdom. That is the most important thing I could have. We learn in the scripture from Proverbs 1:7 that wisdom, where it begins, is the fear of the Lord. So wisdom starts with holding God in the highest regard. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, it tells us. In Proverbs chapter 2, it says, God is the one who gives wisdom. So God is the place it comes from. God is the one who gives wisdom. Now, part of getting wisdom is gaining knowledge and understanding. Proverbs also tells us in 15:22, 11:14, 24:6, over and over again in the book of Proverbs, it tells us to seek a multitude of advisors. Seek many advisors. So whatever decision you're making, you need to ask smart people, wise people. And sometimes that comes from reading books or, you know, taking classes. Sometimes it comes from the knowledgeable people in your life. But part of wisdom is seeking out advisors, learning things, understanding more things. But that knowledge is not enough. It has to be used properly. In fact, that's a good definition of wisdom, is knowledge put into proper use, right? Knowledge put into proper use. And so the whole man of God must grow in wisdom. We must increase in our learning and understanding and in our application of that learning and that understanding. That's the first one. The second one we see in our passage today is that Jesus grew in stature. In stature, that's the physical aspect of who he was. Now he grew in stature. I think there's more to that than just that he got bigger than he was before. This is probably when it comes to being a whole man of God, this idea of our physical stature, our bodies, is a place where a lot of pastors are lacking. Okay? This is confession time, okay? And the idea there is, as pastors, we are put to task to work really hard on our learning, on the spiritual aspect of who we are, and on our relationships, which are the things we're going to talk about. But a lot of times we don't really take very good care of this whole thing right here, you know? But it's important. Why is it important? God has carefully formed your body and given it to you as a gift. In Genesis 2:7, it gives us that clear picture of God forming mankind and breathing the breath of life into him. Or probably my favorite passage is Psalm 139, when it says, God has knit you together in your mother's womb. I always picture my great grandma crocheting. She used to sit and crochet all the time, and she'd make us all blankets and all these things. But that's my picture. And honestly, I seriously pictured that with my children as my wife was carrying our children. I pictured God like intimately knitting these children together in their mother's womb. And that same psalm says, I am remarkably and wondrously made. I am remarkably and wondrously made. Our bodies, though they are temporary, and though they are affected by sinfulness in this fallen world, they're still a gift from God. there's still a gift from God. And I hear this a lot, but, you know, Christians, we have this idea and we say, but aren't our bodies just getting in the way of us doing good? Isn't our bodies that are getting in the way of us and our spiritual growth with God? We get confused there because Paul uses a word a lot of times in his writings. He says flesh, and we're battling against flesh, and flesh is getting in the way. Well, that's his word for sinfulness, but he's not talking about our bodies literally getting in the way. That's our sinfulness. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." And so in everything that we do, and that also comes to, you know, all these different aspects, the things that we do with our body, including drugs or smoking or drinking or sexual activity, everything that we do with this body should honor God. It belongs to him. It's his. And it is a temple for his Holy Spirit. Now, in that, I have to also caution us, because I don't want you to hear what I'm not saying. We don't want to err to the other extreme. We have a culture today, subsections of our culture that worship the body. And that's not what I'm talking about either. People who spend the vast majority of their time focusing on their body, to the neglect of the other things that we're going to discuss today, they're also missing the mark. That's not what I'm saying. But with that caution in place, we need to understand that our bodies are a gift from God, and to be a whole man of God involves what you do with your physical body as well. The next thing we see in the passage is that Jesus grew in favor with God. He grew in favor with God. Now, this one might seem the most obvious to some of us sitting in church, but to most of the world, this is the furthest thing from their mind when they think of a real man. If I went out again on the street and I did those interviews and said, "What's a real man?" How many people do you think, you know, a real man is a guy that brings his family to church and he reads his Bible and he starts his day off with prayer? That's a real man. In fact, I know I share this with you a lot, but it's one of the lowest attended Sundays traditionally throughout the United States, across all denominations. What's one of the lowest attended Sundays all year long? Father's Day. Now, not here. The Father showed up today. So kudos to you guys. I mean, showed up literally and figuratively. Way to lead your families and way to be here, guys. But Father's Day is traditionally a low attendance Sunday because church is for women and children, right? It's not what a man does. No, that needs to be the first thing a man does. This part is so important. Growing in favor with God is so important because it is what you were created for. That was the purpose of you being created. God reconciled us to himself through Christ because that was his purpose from the beginning of time. You are here because God wants a relationship with you. That's the reason you exist. That's why he's created you. Paul understood this truth so well in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. "More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I consider them as dung, so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. My goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead." Now, I want to tell you two things this morning. If you don't remember anything else, please remember these two things, okay? And I even going to put them on the screen for you so you can look at them. But these two things. Number one, there is no greater thing a man can accomplish in life than to have a vibrant relationship with God. That is the greatest thing a man can accomplish in life. Number two, there is nothing of significance that a man can accomplish in life unless he has a great relationship with God. If you want to be a great husband, if you want to be a great father, guess how those begin? With a vibrant relationship with God. That's where those things start. grow in favor with God, in your relationship with God. So the last thing today is Jesus grew in favor with people. He grew in favor with people. Now, I know there's men out there today who would be perfectly happy if I just ended in that last point, right? I take care of my mind, my body, my spirit. I'm good to go. But that's not where it stops. Jesus grew in his relationships with others. So to give you an idea of how important this is, if we take the laws in the Bible, and you know, you read through all the do's and don'ts of the Bible, could you make a list of the top 10 do's and don'ts in the Bible? I'll give you a hint, it's already there, okay? It's called the Ten Commandments. And the first four of those deal with your relationship with God. Do you know what the last six deal with? Your relationship with people and how we live and deal with one another. And at one point in his ministry, Jesus was challenged on what is the greatest command. What is the greatest command, Jesus? In Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. It says, when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they came together. And one of them, an expert in the law, asked a question to test him. Teacher, what command in the law is the greatest? And he said to them, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command, which is what I just talked about a minute ago, right? And so Jesus could have stopped there, huh? But what does he do? He says, but don't forget about the second one, guys. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two. Everything else depends on these two things. Love God and love one another. Most important is your relationship to God, but right after that is your relationship to other people. And if we continue further into 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 4, the scripture tells us in those passages that here's the definition of love. Here's what love looks like. And then every single time it says love is the way that God loves you. But if you truly understand that, then you're going to love others in that same way. It never stops there in any of those passages. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and he sacrificed for us. So go love other people that way. Over and over and over again, that's what the scripture tells us. And we're not just talking about relationships with other Christians. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, it gives us the qualifications for a man who wants to be a leader in the church. It says, if you want to be a leader in the church, here's the kind of man you have to be. And one of those things is you have to have a great relationship with people outside the church. If you want to lead in the church, then you must be in great relationships with men outside of the church. The whole man of God, a real man, has good relationships in his life. That's a real man. So we develop all these things to be a whole man, and all of these are interrelated. I got bad news for you. You can't say, well, I'm more of a wisdom and stature kind of guy. So I just focus on those. They all have to be together and all have to be working together. So, honest question, don't have to raise your hand. I'm raising mine. Is that all a little overwhelming for you sometimes? Do you feel like you're falling short in some of those things? Well, I have some really good news for you. We have talked about all these words in this verse except for two. And the two that we have not talked about are mind-blowing. We've talked about wisdom, stature, favor with God, favor with people. But we've left out two words. Jesus grew. Jesus grew. Brothers and sisters, think about that for a minute. Jesus grew in wisdom. Jesus grew in stature. Jesus grew in his relationship with God. And Jesus grew in his relationship with other people. Now, before Jesus could teach the Pharisees, he had to learn how to talk, didn't he? Before Jesus could walk on the water, he had to learn how to walk. But he grew in all of those other areas. This is a really incredible statement. He was not born with all of these things in full measure. Jesus had to grow. Jesus had to develop. What does that mean for us? Now, be careful, don't shout out the answer to this, because, you know, I don't know how good your theology is. Was Jesus perfect, sinless, from the time of his birth? The answer is yes. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. So if Jesus was perfect from the moment he was conceived by God in the Virgin Mary, there's nothing wrong with growing, is there? The fact that you need to grow, the fact that you need to develop in your wisdom, that you need to develop in your relationships with other people, that you need to grow in your relationship with God, there's nothing wrong with that. That's good. That's healthy. That's beautiful. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and favor with man. It's okay that you're still working on it, as long as you continue to work on it, as long as you're not satisfied with where you're at right now. I've told you guys this so many times over the past years, some of you can probably finish it. God is much more concerned about where you're going than where you've been, right? God is much more concerned about where you're going than where you've been. So what does a real man look like? I'm going to give you a definition today. A real man is someone who is continually growing in wisdom, stature, favor with God, and favor with people. Someone who is continually moving forward in all those ways. Men, this is who you need to be. Fathers, this is who you need to be. And sisters, this is who you need to be. This is who you need to be. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "We all, with unveiled faces, are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord and are being transformed." It's a continuous process. We are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory. So let's all continue to grow in wisdom, stature, favor with God, and favor with men. Amen? Stand with me and we'll close in prayer. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for a beautiful and exciting morning. With all the incredible work that you're doing that we've talked about with our Vacation Bible School, with our church replant in Shiraz, with the kids at camp. Lord, thank you for all the exciting things that you're doing. And in the midst of all of that, thank you for the exciting things that you're doing in my life as I continue to grow. Thank you for the exciting things that you're doing in my brothers and sisters' lives as we continue to grow. Lord, I just ask that most importantly, we're tripping and we're falling sometimes. We're messing up. We're not where we want to be all the time. But my biggest prayer is that we would just move forward every day. That we just continue to grow in all of these ways. That we continue to move forward. That we continue to be made more and more like your son Jesus every day as we walk this earth. And then Lord, as you do that work in our lives, let us be fathers, possibly, in the lives of people who don't have that. Let us be mothers in the lives of people who don't have that. Let us be brothers and sisters to those who are lonely. Ultimately, let us be Jesus in a dark and dying world. Let us reflect who you are to the people around us. Grow us into who you want us to be. Empower us with your Holy Spirit as you do that. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the good, good Father. That you never leave us, that you never forsake us, that your love for us is perfect, that your sacrifice for us is complete, that it is ultimate. Thank you for being the great Father, the perfect Father, God, our Father. We love you. We praise you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Happy Father's Day, dads.